Well, hello everyone. Do you want to have a Philadelphian era attitude in God's church? Here are what thousands of God's people did, and so can you. We all should know that we need to grow spiritually in God's Word, and we need good Bible study tools to do this. Along with the instructions we receive during the Sabbath and the Bible studies, we can also gain an Ambassador College education by completing the 58-lesson Ambassador Bible Correspondence course. The best Bible study course there is a familiar statement made by Mr. Armstrong in some of his radio broadcasts. Now we have access to a gold mine of words fitly spoken, God's Word, the Bible. But we are to diligently and earnestly study in order to rightly apply His words, as it says, and we'll turn here to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll read verse 15. It says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And let's go over to chapter 3, and we'll read verses 14 and 15. Paul was instructing Timothy, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus," the faith of Christ. And let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter 3, and we'll read verse 15 there also. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense or answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." This valuable Bible study tool based on the authorized King James Version of the Bible will augment your study of the Scriptures, will make us wise with godly wisdom, and will help us be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks. Now here's what the first lessons state. This is a Bible study course, a study of the Bible, not just a study of these words we have sent you. Our words are intended to show you where to look in your Bible and to help you to know how to study the Bible. Now, as an example, the Bereans were found to be more willing to listen to Paul and Silas than those of Thessalonica. And why? Because they did proper Bible study to prove whether those things were so. And let's turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, and we'll start with verse 10. It says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, where they arrived, when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. Now, as of December 1967, Mr. Armstrong, at the end of his autobiography, stated that 80,000 students study the Bible correspondence course. That grain of mustard seed is multiplying mightily under the guiding power of God. And with Mr. Armstrong as the editor, he edited all those lessons, Dr. C. Paul Meredith was an early evangelist in God's church who was instrumental in helping Mr. Armstrong write this correspondence course. His nephew wrote this biography of him, and I'm going to read this to you. Read some excerpts in sections in this. This is found in a March 1968 Good News biography. It says that he was born on October 27, 1902 in Oklahoma. Before he was 10, the family moved to Joplin, Missouri, and here he attended high school and lived for most of his life until entering God's work. Now, he became deputy state veterinarian for Southwest Missouri in 1940. And he began a deep and comprehensive quest to find God's purpose in life and the true way to solve the world's problems. More and more, he began to realize that the Bible was God's true word and contained the answers. However, he had difficulty in finding anyone who faithfully stuck to the Bible or who really understood it. He began hearing the World Tomorrow broadcast in 1942. He checked on it carefully and gradually began to eliminate other broadcasts that didn't follow the Bible, wanting even more personal contact with what he was increasingly convinced was God's true work. He talked to Mr. Herbert Armstrong on long-distance telephone calls several times, plus exchanging personal letters with him. Along with two others, he was one of the human instruments God used to rescue Ambassador College in the terrible financial crisis of 1948. The next year, in August 1949, he moved to Pasadena, California, to help out in any way he could in God's work. He went on to receive a Master of Arts degree in theology from Ambassador College. And because of Mr. Armstrong's growing concern for the need of a well-planned, comprehensive Bible correspondence course to aid our thousands of scattered members and co-workers, at that time, we had very few churches anywhere. He volunteered his services to this vast undertaking, working with Mr. Armstrong and others, and began outlining, planning, and finally writing and producing the Ambassador College Correspondence Course in 1954. The copious notes he had taken on Mr. Armstrong's broadcasts, sermons, and lectures for years provided a broad basis to help produce the early lessons of the Correspondence Course. Thousands of our members and co-workers responded to the course enthusiastically back then. Many commented on the clarity, the simplicity, and helpfulness, yet the depth of this course. And this is interesting. Many of our ministers, many of the ministers back then, began noting that the extent of spiritual knowledge of prospective members could almost be determined by which lesson of the course they were on. The enrollment of this course grew steadily and became one of the most vital arms of God's work to strengthen the members and prospective brethren in the detailed knowledge of God's Word. Through this course, thousands of people were so strengthened in the knowledge of God's truth that they were led to conversion by this detailed study of the Bible. And the enrollment of the course grew immensely and was then included 82,000 students worldwide until the time of his death in 1968. Now, all great literary works by men have never been perfect. They are improved in time by revisions to correct inadvertent errors and better understanding of God's Word. The Bible, for instance, in its original God-inspired language, was a perfect document. But when translations and copies were made, errors began to be present. But we read the Bible with the corrections understood. The 58 lessons of the Ambassador Bible Correspondence Course were no exception, and a few errors that existed were later corrected, just like any other great literary work. Some errors were normal scriptural errors, such as quoting the wrong scripture, which were corrected in the new 1968 versions of the course. Later, Mr. Armstrong, through God's inspiration, would have corrected the very few errors, especially in the errors in the areas of which they to keep Pentecost. God's church back then kept Pentecost on Monday instead of Sunday until 1974. If you lift this small section of the lesson, replacing it with what we know now, then no other document has come close to explaining the biblical facts about Pentecost. Also, from Lesson 19, a better understanding of divorce and remarriage found in 1 Corinthians 7 came later by Mr. Armstrong. Lesson 21 on the nature of birth was later corrected as well. One caution to be aware of is the 32 lesson course that came out in the 1980s, extending past Mr. Armstrong's death. It was influenced by a church administration that was departing from the faith once delivered. But these invaluable 58 lessons are an extension of what Mr. Armstrong taught us. And actually, this course is like a 3 to 5 year Ambassador College education of the golden age of the Philadelphian era. That's what it is. Now, first generation Christians during that time period that are still here today, there's a few of us, can teach the second and soon coming third generation Christians now, while there is still time. And one way to do this is through this inspiring 58 lesson course. The church was being blessed during that time with incredible growth and spiritual understanding. now that we are in a time period of the remnant of this era, let's hold on to those values and truths, and let's turn there as it says in Acts chapter 2. Let's go back here to Acts chapter 2. And we'll read verse 42. It's talking about God's people, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers, being steadfast. Now, my wife in the late 1960s started the 58-lesson course before she was invited to the church. She was so excited to see the next lesson come in the mail. And she only received one lesson per month. And at the end of 4 months, they sent a test called Test Your Memory. Then she had to send it back to be graded before she received the next lesson. That's what it was like back then. She was unable to finish the complete course because the church stopped printing them in around 1971 under a different church administration. Then God called me into His church in late 1975 and on into 1976 when I came in. At that time, they had the 12-lesson course, which, although very good, was only a brief summary of the 58 lessons. Back then, I would have loved to have studied all 58 lessons, but they were not available. Now, this is interesting. You couldn't even borrow someone's personal copies of the lessons for fear they would not get them back. That's the way it was. People were so protective of their lessons that they held on to them in order not to lose them. That's how they felt about those lessons. Now, I'm going to read a letter by Mr. Armstrong. It's essentially about what our students say, but he's giving a summary of this. And you can tell what time period is when I read this. He says, "The time is short, far shorter than most of you realize. We are almost midway into this decade. Soon it will be 1970. The question is, are you overcoming yourself while you have the time? Are you putting every moment of your time to good use? Notice how some of the students of the Ambassador College Bible Correspondence course are using their time." Now, I'm going to go through some of these students and what they said. Here's someone from Illinois. "Dear Mr. Armstrong, it is quite hard for me to sit down and write a letter, but I just had to sit down and thank you as God's servant for sending me the wonderful Bible course. I thank Almighty God for making it possible for me to be alive to see the amazing things that are being fulfilled in this life and how the wonderful world tomorrow will be an altogether different place to live. No wars, no sickness, no death, all happiness. And how we can live a happy life here and now if we obey and live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And then another student from Nassau, Bahamas says, "I am a student at college, and believe you me, I surely have a lot of studies to do at times. But from the amazing truth I have discovered from the Bible through the correspondence course, I will have to budget my time to continue my search for the truth concerning prophecies of our times and spiritual guidance in my everyday Christian life. Another student from Modesto, California says, "Dear Mr. Armstrong, I am not too articulate when it comes to expressing my feelings on paper, but I do want to tell you the Bible Correspondence Course truly is an inspired work. I am on my 47th lesson, and at each study period, I thank God for you and everyone who has a part in producing these Bible lessons. While studying the lessons on God's master plan, I thought them the most fascinating thing I'd ever studied. I hated to lay them aside before each lesson was finished. And now these lessons on prayer are marvelous. They have helped me so much." Now here's someone. They made it anonymous from East Berlin, East Germany. This is back in the time controlled by a powerful other state. They say, "Today I want to sincerely thank you for lessons 2, 3, and 4 of the Bible Correspondence Course that you sent me. I am happy when I receive a lesson. Every evening I sit in my room and study your course. Before I begin with my study, I pray to God that He will let me understand this course. I end the study the same way with a prayer. Here I thank God that there are people who help me honor, love, and fear His Word. Yes, your Bible Correspondence Course is really something special. Many Christians should read it." And Mr. Armstrong finishes his letter with these words. He says, "These encouraging quotes come from people like yourself, people who want to know more about the real meaning of their Bibles. They have already learned how to use their time wisely in Bible study. As you can see, many of them study long hours, really engrossed in the new truths they are learning. But what if studying isn't easy? What if it doesn't come easy for you? Do you have difficulty putting aside 30 minutes, just 30 minutes each day, for the study of this Ambassador Bible Correspondence Course? Sometimes, do you let several days slip by without studying as you should? We know that some of you have." He was talking to them about then. "What most people need is to organize, budget their time, and every one of us needs to learn to put first things first." Now later, because of the internet and the free access to God's literature here, my wife and I have been able to study through all 58 lessons, and we did this from 2006 to 2012. And I have behind me quite a number of notebooks right here of all the lessons. They're all in here, and I've got one on the side here. I'll go through it. But we put them all in there. And now I'll show you this one of them, just to give you an example. Lesson 45 here is talking about examples of answered prayer. But what we did and what they asked people to do, show you a little better here, is that you were to write down each of the scriptures. Now sometimes the scripture would be repeated and you could still write them down. But we spent that time writing. That was part of the study. And it just reinforced your study and comprehension of God's Word. So we went through. And here's another, reaping God's blessings, and then it's got how to pray effectively. And as you can see, we wrote down each one. Those were mine, and the others were Lorraine. So that gives you an idea, putting that 30 minutes in there as best you can, and studying God's Word, looking up the Scriptures. That's what we did during it. That's what they recommend, beginning of the lessons. So now you or anyone can have access to this valuable study tool of the Bible. And writing down all the Scriptures helps to remember what you are learning, we just said. For those that are giving sermonettes, and even sermons today, this course has an incredible source of godly knowledge that the Philadelphia era understood. We can get valuable ideas and subjects from this correspondence course to speak about. So now let's briefly go through this course material, so that you can get an understanding and an appreciation for this Bible study course that thousands, inspired thousands of those in God's church. And by us studying this same course, we will be keeping the faith and the truths that were once delivered to them as well as us today. And let's show what that says in Jude, verse 3. Let's turn to Jude, verse 3. Verse 3 of Jude says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." And that was back then, and now we are today. So let's go just to lesson 2. That brings a detailed, exciting account. I'm just going to go through a brief summary of some of these. It's a detailed, exciting account of the true gospel message, the good news of the future coming kingdom of God or government of God to this earth. It's here now in God's church. That message came from God the Father through Jesus Christ the messenger. And we just heard this by Mr. Armstrong. And it is still to go out to the world as a witness today. As he was mentioning, and it's still the same today because the end is not here. People today are taught that the gospel of Christ concerns only the events in the life of Christ and as of him being their Savior right now. So if you believe you are already saved, then that's the false gospel, if you believe you're already saved, have been saved. They are not told the true gospel message he brought, the true gospel of the future coming kingdom. All of this is explained in Lesson 2. Do you want to know how Jesus Christ and you are going to be crowned and when and where that will take place and also by whom? Then you need to read Lesson 6 and find out. It'll tell you. This is interesting too. If you want to know something that's incredible that most all people in God's church today do not know, the true hidden meaning behind King Hezekiah's prayer found in 2 Kings 20 and 21, then read Lesson 12, Proof of the Bible. with its attached facts you should know about answered prayer. To learn about the two covenants concerning your eternal life, you can study into lessons 18 and 19. And that would be the Old Covenant, the New Covenant. And what about testaments? Is there an Old Testament and a New Testament? What are the difference between those? You'll all find that in those two lessons. The most thorough study of the Sabbath is found in two lessons, 27 and 28. They use two lessons to go in very detail about the Sabbath day. What is the mark of the beast? Is brought out in lessons 29, 30, 31, and 32. Those four lessons. These lessons even tell where the number 666 came from and identifies who it is. Now, what about God's festivals and holy days? From each lesson is one of the holy days and festivals, and they're lessons 33 through 39. Each whole lesson is dedicated to provide the most complete, thorough, and detailed explanation you can ever find in church literature. One whole lesson dedicated to each festival. And we use this, you can, once you go through it one time, you can always go back and review these, especially around those times, and any of the other lessons when you get caught in some of the type of subjects you're dealing with. If you want to learn about how to truly seek God, then go to the purpose of fasting, lesson 48. Now I'm going to read here's lesson 48. And I'm going to read just on into it, just a few places here about what it says. It says, so the purpose of fasting is to humble ourselves, to help us see ourselves as we really are, and to see God as He is. Fasting is a humbling experience. It cuts us down and lets us know how small and weak and insufficient unto ourselves we really are. You learn real humility during then. And then, when we recognize how feeble we really are and how great God really is, we can turn and trust in the Almighty God for the spiritual power to overcome and grow in His character, the faith of God, the faith of Christ. Now, don't miss lessons 49 to 53. There's something. This is where you will learn of the true time sequenced history of each era of God's church. Who were involved? What doctrines did they hold on to then? What access did they have to the scriptures? How did they live, and what happened to them that caused the transition and actual dates of the final handoff of the baton that began the next era? You will find that in those lessons 49 to 53. The Correspondence Course Lesson 7 is about ending your financial worries by detailing what God requires of us concerning His tithes and offerings. This lesson shows that if we walk by faith and not by sight, or what other people would say or teach, then there will be blessings poured out for you and your family. It takes godly faith to give all of God's tithes, which include all three tithes in their proper timing. The first tithe goes to God's work, as we know, and the second tithe is saved by us for the holy days and Feast of Tabernacles. And every third year, we give a third tithe to help the needy of God's church. If we do not give all of our tithes to God, then he says that we're robbing or stealing from him by outright breaking the eighth commandment. And let's turn to Malachi chapter 3, because we need to back that up with God's word always. But let's see what Malachi, the scriptures say about this. Malachi 3 and verses 8 through 10. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, 'In what have we robbed you?' In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." That was Israel back then. And we have to think of ourselves today. "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this." What does that mean, "and try me now in this"? It takes faith, godly faith, says the Lord of hosts. "If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Now, we'll go to the year of tithing, and we'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 14. So let's turn back to there just to give a snapshot of what we're talking about. Deuteronomy 14, and we'll read verse 28 and 29. It says, "At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates." Now, back then, that was the whole nation of Israel. Today, it's God's church. "And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates, may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand, which you do." Those are your increases. And let's go to chapter 26, Deuteronomy. Chapter 26, and we'll read verses 12, starting with 12, 16. Says, "When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled, then you shall say before the Lord your God, 'I have removed the holy tithe from my house, and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and widow, according to all your commandments, which you have commanded me, and I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in the morning, nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven, and bless your people Israel, the land which you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. And this day, the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes." That's what these are, statutes and judgments. "Therefore, you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul." So we see that it is our responsibility, according to God's law, to give tithes, which does include third tithe. Then it is the responsibility of the church leadership to properly administer and distribute it to those in God's church who are in true need of financial assistance, especially the widows and the fatherless children. Either during or after the year of tithing, God promises blessing for obeying Him. So let us not deny His blessings. And all this is explained in Lesson 7. And I have something I created. We've been keeping this up. It's a third tithe year schedule. And it started back in 1976. That's when I was baptized. My wife is with me later. And it says, begin counting on the Feast of Tabernacles, of course, in 1976 or whenever, because of being baptized. And I was baptized in November 76. So you begin tithing in that year that is closest to the Feast of Tabernacles. That's when you start counting. And then every third year, that's the year of tithing. And then another third year, that's another year of tithing, six. And then the seventh year is the year of release. Also, it's referred to as a year of blessings. And then you start the cycle all over again. And we've been following this all along up until this year. And from the Feast of Tabernacles, we're in our third tithe year at this time. And we will continue doing that. So that's what the schedule looks like. That's what we did. Now, you have to remember that the people in God's church in the 1950s, the 60s, the 70s, just like we were, they had the same equivalent taxing system compared to the salaries as we have today. When you adjust for all of this and the taxes, Social Security, federal income taxes, to the cost of living with inflation, they're very nearly the same as it was back then. And we know because we were back then doing it. The same today. They had to sacrifice, just like we do, in order to obey God's tithing laws. And they always came with the blessings from God. We could tell you a number of them, but that's what it is. Now we need to realize that there is government in God's church. That is continually taught throughout all these 58 lessons when you go through them. So today, in every congregation, the government of God flows down from God the Father to Jesus Christ and then to the authority, that authority of the administration of God's law further flows down to the lead minister in the congregation. Mr. Armstrong always said that two can't walk together unless they be agreed, and one must be the leader. It is the responsibility of the ministers and others that are speaking in those congregations to rightfully teach the obedience to God's word and His laws. Now here's some proof of this, and let's turn to Colossians, and we'll just give a snapshot about what Paul's saying here. That's Colossians chapter 1. And we'll... okay, with verse 23 start. He's just going through. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And now let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. And we'll see about another lesson, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 and verse 19. It says, "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." That's the kingdom of God. That's in lesson 42. It explains the meaning of this scripture and shows just how this Laodicean smug attitude can creep into the church by developing, and this is interesting, a partial neglect of God's law. A partial neglect of God's law. And remember that it says in 1 Corinthians 5, 6 that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. We're coming up to those holy days and festivals in the months ahead. Now, lessons 42 and 53, they go further. It further goes into some unique characteristics of this last era that you should know and be aware of, and how it has been noticeably growing, and this by Mr. Armstrong, into the church over the decades since the late 1960s. He said this in the latter 60s. He could see where this Laodicean attitude was growing back then even. And today, as we near the exact end time of the history of man, the exact 6,000th year, which is still out there, we see God's church transitioning into a dominant Laodicean attitude. Now, there are only a few true Philadelphians today in this remnant time that are staying steadfast and going the narrow and difficult path toward God's kingdom. Remember, these invaluable lessons are an extension of what Mr. Armstrong taught us. So with God's Word, the Bible, these lessons to do our Bible studies combined with church literature, we will learn and hold on to those truths from the golden age of the Philadelphia era church. Yes, by doing this, then you will really accelerate drawing closer to God with those spiritual golden nuggets of the faith once delivered.